Shalom to all! Today's office holding off Ayin, a weird song about the 12th line with the words Bay Rava, and today's office sponsor, Lili Nishmas, Marsh Memsar Basibiaka Moshe, Hernish, Amash and Havan Aliyah. So we're discussing Bechar, and we had said that it's not Kadosh until the Rav, the majority emerges from the mother, therefore there'd be no Isser of giving it a mum, which means that there's no Isser to cut the Evarim off one by one as they come out, because it's not Rav yet. So we're told us Bay Rava Rav as follows, Hochel Bevarn Achar Rav, Oi Loi Hochel Bevarn Achar Rav. Do we follow Rav when we're just focusing on an Aver on one limb, or no? So the Gemara asks, Hey Chidami, what are we talking about over here? Even if we want to say, for example, Shiyatsu Rav Bimiyot Aver, the Rav of the animal is out, but that's because of Miyot Aver. What does that mean? So, for example, 49% of the animal had already come out, and what tipped this scale to make it Rav, let's call that 51%, was Miyot Aver, a small part of one of the Avarim. Okay, by the way, Rav's question is as follows: Hi, Miyot of Rav, this Miyot of the Aver, which is outside, Basu Rav de Aver Shadinolay. Do we say that actually follows the Rav of that Aver that it's part of, and that means it's really considered inside the animal, and that means that we don't have Rav of the animal because we only have 49% of it. Oi, basa ruba the uber shadin lay. Or do we say that that little part of the aver follows the majority of the uber? So now there's 51% of the uber outside, and it's considered like we have rive. So the Gemara asks, what type of question is that? Pshita, it's obvious. Deloshev kina ruba the uber, vazlin basa rive aver. We don't leave, which means really we don't ignore the fact that the majority of the uber is outside and say that we go basa rive of the aver and take that little piece of the aver and pretend, so to speak, that it's back inside the animal. We clearly have rive of the animal outside, so that's obviously not the question. El Rath says, Gemara, what's our question? Half of the animal is out, 50%, and that's because of Rav Aver. Meaning the only reason why 50% of the Uber is outside the animal is because the majority of one of the Avarim is outside. And Mekomi Bailey, his question is as follows: that miut of that Aver, which is still inside, do we say that it goes Basar Rav of the Aver, which is outside, and now the majority of the Uber is outside, or no? Do we say it's just 50-50 and it's not considered a majority? So when it comes to Raya Toshma, what does our mission say? Yata Rubai, if the majority of the Uber came out, how is the cover has to be buried? Now, my Rubai, what does that mean? Rav. Elam wanted to say Rubai Mamesh, that actually Rav of the animal came out. Well, Ad Hashtalash Me'in Drubai Kulai, up until now, have we never heard of the din that the majority is like the whole thing? We know all throughout Shas that Rav is like the whole thing. So it can't be that's what the Mishnah is teaching us. El Lav, it must be, what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? That only half of the Uber came out with Rav Aver, and nonetheless we say that the Miyot, which is still inside, is considered like it's outside, and therefore it's Rav. And that would be the answer to Rav's question. So this is Gemara, Loi Not a Raya. Kagan, what's the Mishnah talking about? Like our first suggestion, Shiyatsu Rubai Miyot Aver. The majority the Uber came out, but that's only because we have miyot, a little bit of an aver that tipped it over to 51%. And the chiddush of the Mishnah is deloishav kina rubai the Uber the behemav azlin abasar aver. They we don't leave or we don't ignore the fact that the majority of the Uber is outside and say that that miyot of the aver is really considered inside and that we don't have rive. So bottom line is we don't have a clarity to Rava. Now there is a big question over here because we had just said in the Gemara beforehand that this is pshita, that it's obvious that this is what we would say. So why is the Gemara now telling us that that's the chiddush of the Mishnah and the Mepharshim deal with that? And we deal with more case of Bechar. And the general idea of all of the following is that in order for an animal to have Kedushas Bechar, it has to be Peta Rechem. It has to come out through the mother's Rechem, through the mother's womb. So we have a number of different interesting situations. By Rava, according to someone's by Rabba, Karcha Besiv, Mahu, Betalisai, Mahu. Let's say, as the Uber was coming out, it wasn't Rav yet, the shepherd or the farmhand, whoever it was that was helping birth it, took a sieve, which is some sort of sheet of fibers, or he took a talus, a garment, and he wrapped the animal in it. So by the time the majority came out, it wasn't actually touching the Rechem. There was a Chatzitza around it. So what's the din? Is that considered Kedushas Bechar? Another question, Bishul Yasai, Mahu. What about in its Shilya, in its amniotic sac? That's not considered touching the Rechem. Asking more, hold on. When it comes out in its amniotic sac, that is the norm. That's the standard. So what's the question? Of course, it's considered Bechar. El Rather, Gemara clarifies, B'shel Yacheres Mahu. Let's be wrapped with a shilly with the amniotic sac of a different animal. Maybe since that's its min, that's the standard. So even though it's wrapped in the shilly of a different animal, it still could be that it's considered Bechar. Another question, Karchasev Achazasev Atziyasai Mahu. Let's say the person who's helping birth the animal put their hands inside the Rechem and held on to the baby and pulled it out like that. Then maybe their hands are considered a Chatzitza, or maybe not, since that's the norm. So the Gemara further clarifies, hey, what's that case over here? What are we asking about? If the baby animal, the fetus, was coming out head first, so patarte, that already patters its mother, which means it's already considered a bechar, because since the head is very chashiv, we don't even need to have rive. The moment the head comes out, it's already considered born, and of course it's a bechar. I'll rather what our question is about, it's coming out from its feet, and then we would have to have rive, so that's what we're asking about. We have another question. Let's say chulda, a weasel, put its head inside the animal's rechem, swallowed the uber, the fetus, and brought it out that way. What's the din? Ask the Gemara, what's the question? Haitziyasai, it brought it out like that, ha-pixay. It completely took it out of the Rechem without it touching the walls of the Rechem at all, and that's no different than our previous questions, as if you wrapped it in a talus or one of the other questions. Al-Rath, the Gemara clarifies this question. The Chulda put its head into the animal, bal-asai, swallowed the fetus, haitziyasai, took it out like that, then v'hichnisasai, put its head back into the mother, v'hikiyasai, regurgitated this fetus, v'yatzma'ilav, and then it came out on its own. Mahu, what's it doing over here? Does it become Kadesh coming from its mother, or maybe since once it was already taken out, this second time it comes out, even though it was from its mother? mother, it's not kadosh. Another question, hidvik shnei rechamim. Let's this person did a little bit of surgery, connected the wombs of two animals, and the fetus went from animal one and then came out of the womb of animal two. Ma, what's it then over here? Didei patar, delav didei loy patar. If it's its own baby, so then it paters it, but if it's not its own baby, it doesn't pater it. And therefore, the second mother, which ended up birthing this fetus, is not considered to have having a bechar. Idomer, perhaps, delav didei nami patar. Even though it's not its baby, maybe that also paters it. And the Gemara concludes all these questions. Teiku. We have another question. Bai Ravacha, yes, as follows. Niftachu kasei beis harechem, mahu. Let's say the walls of the beis harechem, the walls of the womb, opened up so wide that the animal came out without actually touching the rechem. Ma, what's it done over here? Avi rechem makdish vehoika. Do we say that just the simple airspace of the rechem is makdish it, and so it has kedushas bechar? And we have it over here. Adilma negias rechem makadsha vehaleka. Perhaps it has to actually touch the rechem, and that's what's makadish it. And we don't have it over here because it didn't touch the rechem. Another question by Mar Ashi. He asks as follows. Nekru kaisli beis harechem mahu. Let's say the walls of the beis harechem got uprooted, which basically means that the womb of the animal got completely detached from where it was connected. What's it then regarding this bechar? Ask the Gemara. Nekru got uprooted. Halesnu. We don't have it. It doesn't have a womb. So of course it wouldn't be considered a regular bechar. I'll rather the Gemara clarifies the question. Nekru v'tol v'tzavare. Let's say the rechem got uprooted, stayed with inside the animal, and ended up getting wrapped around the fetus's neck. My, what's it then over here? Do we say the mkaiman makachi shlem kaiman makachi that only if the rechem is in its normal place, it's connected to the animal the way it's supposed to be, so that's makadish the baby animal, and if not, I don't perhaps shlem kaiman not makachi, even though it's not in its place, it's still makadish it, because at the end of the day, the baby went through the rechem, even though the rechem was detached. Another question, by Meneer Yirmi Reb Zera, nigmumu kase beis harechem mahu. Let's say the walls of the beis harechem got peeled away. In other words, right by the exit where the baby comes out of the mother, the thickness of that part of the rechem got peeled away, and it's not there, what's it then? So I'm going to respond to him, kanagis b'baydi b'aylon, you've touched on a question which we had asked. By Reb Zera asks as follows, some say, let's say the rechem had oimid and parts. Oimid literally means standing, which means it had part of it remaining. Parts means it's breached. In other words, part of it's not remaining. It's broken open or it's not there. So the first case is, oimid is merubal parts. There's more of the rechem remaining than not. However, the fetus came out, derech the parts, in the area where there was no rechem. Or what about the other way? Parts merubal oimid. There's more parts than oimid. So it's more breached. It's missing more than it actually has. But yes, derech oimid. The ubar came out through the oimid part. My, what's it in? So this was a question that was asked. What do we learn from this question? His question is only in regards to when there's more parts than oimid. At least there is oimid there. But it was nigmam, it was peeled away. He's not even asking regarding that because that's not even considered oimid. And so for sure in that case, it would not be considered a bechar. Moving on to item based on top, this mishnah begins a sugya which is going to go for about the next daf and a half. This mishnah says as follows: an animal whose fetus died inside of it, and the raya, the shepherd, the farmhand, whoever it is, put his hand inside the mother animal and touch the dead fetus. It doesn't make a difference if it's or taira, which means a non-kosher or kosher animal, doesn't make a difference. He is tahar, even though he touched a dead animal, and usually a dead animal is nevela, it doesn't make a difference. Since it's inside its mother, it's not matame him, and we're going to see why in the Gemara. Whereas Rabbi Yosei Glili Omer, he argues and says, it's only if the mother animal is kosher, then when the person touches the dead fetus inside, he's tahar. However, if it's a non-kosher animal, then the dead fetus inside is matame him. So I ask my time Tanakama, what's the reason of Tanakama? Why is it when we have a dead kosher fetus inside its kosher mother, and again the mother animal is alive, and the person touches the dead fetus, it's not considered nevela, so he's not tame. Amar Chizay answers, if the mother helps to make a mutter to eat, in other words, we learned previously, when the mother is shechted and has an uber inside, we're allowed to eat that uber, it's mutter through its mother's shechita, shouldn't we say that the mother helps to be matired from nevela? Since it's inside its mother, the mother, so to speak, considered its mechitza, as we had used that term before, and therefore, it's not considered nevela yet until it comes out. So Gemara says, okay, this is good kavachomer. Ashkon behematahir behematmeyam menalon. This is good for a kosher animal. What about a non-kosher animal? As we answer, Amar Kar, the pasuk says v'chiyomus mena behema. Let's just pause over here and read the whole pasuk. The pasuk tells us v'chiyomus mena behema asher hilochem laachla. Literally translated, this means when an animal that you're able to eat dies, hanegem nevlasa yitmad arev. Somebody who touches its nevela shall be tummy till the evening. However, the Josh says as follows, splitting of the pasuk into two different things. V'chiyomus mena behema zubehematmeya. This is talking about a non-kosher animal. And then what the pasuk says asher hilochem laachla zubehematahira. This is talking about a kosher animal. So what do we see from this pasuk? Iskish behemoth mayla behemoth tahira. We can compare a non-kosher and kosher animal. Ma behemoth tahira ubara tahar, a behemoth maya ubara tahar. Just like with a kosher animal, when it has a dead fetus inside, it's tahar. It's not nevela yet, as we just said before. So too, even when we have a non-kosher animal, when it has a dead fetus inside, it's still not nevela yet. So that's the Tanakama. Moving on, Rabbi Segli my time out. What's Rabbi Segli's reasoning? When we have a dead non-kosher fetus inside its non-kosher mother, so that is tamikaz nevela. So Rabbi Yitzchak, he tells us, tamikaz because the pasuk says, and anything that goes on its kapayim. Now, literally, kapayim means palms. With animals, we would translate that as paws, as in P-A-W-S. In other words, any animal that doesn't have split hooves, and that's why the pasuk continued saying Ha'ilechas al arba, that it goes on four, and that's going to be important for the continuation. The pasuk then says Tamim him lechem, they're tummy for you, which means they're not kosher. Kana gevin of lasam yitma the arev, anyone that touches their nevela, if it dies, he's tummy till the evening. So going back to Yisus Joshua, what does the pasuk tell us? Mahalche kapayim bichaya tamei silacha, that which goes on its kapayim, on its paws, inside of a chaya, that's what is metame for you. In other words, the drasha is v'chol ha'ilecha kapav b'chol ha'chaya ha'ilechas, anything that goes on its kapayim inside the chaya, which means if it's inside its mother, it's still a fetus. Nonetheless, if it dies, it's considered nevela. That's what the pasuk's telling us. Ask the gemara if that's really so. Lamiato kolot b'mei para litame the mahalche kapayim b'chayahu, a kolot inside a para, that should be tame because mahalche kapayim in a chaya. We already had this before. A kolot is a kosher animal that just simply has joined hooves. The hooves are not split. So if we have this kolot inside its mother, who's a para, that should also be metame because it's mahalche kapayim. Says the gemara, no, mahalche kapayim b'mahalche arba. The Joshua of Yitzchak is telling us only if it's mahalche kapayim inside something that walks on four. But v'hai mahalche arba b'mahalche shmeinahu. This kolot b'mei para is something that walks on four because you're right, it doesn't have split hooves, but it's inside something that walks on eight because it's its mother's regular para. It has split hooves. That means it, so to speak, has eight. It's mahalche shmeinah because it walks on eight because again it has split hooves, and therefore that's excluded from the pasuk. The gemara continues asking Rav Yitzchak though, paru mei gamal loy tame, something that has the form of a para, which is inside the stomach of a camel, that shouldn't be tame. The mahalche shmeinah mahalche arbahu, because that's mahalche shmeinah inside mahalche arba. It walks on eight because again it's a para, so it has split hooves, and it's inside the stomach of something that goes on four. Someone clarifies, no, instead of the pasuk saying hoylech, it says v'chol hoylech. What do we learn from here? L'rabbis paru mei gamal, that includes even if a para is inside a gamal and that para dies, it's going to become tame because of nevela. So the gemara has another question from Yitzchak. Kolot b'mei kaluta. What about if the mother animal was a kaluta? And that's perfectly fine because it was born as a kaluta. It had joined hooves. It was a regular cow, but it had joined hooves. And the fetus inside of it also had joined hooves. Latame. In this case, it should be tame. Why the mahalche arba mahalche arbahu? This is a case of something that goes on four inside something that goes on four. And so it should be tame. Rabbi Yossi doesn't say that. Rabbi Yossi says anytime we have a kosher animal inside another kosher animal, it's tahar. And this is kosher inside kosher. Even though it's kalut, it's still kosher. So Gemara says, you're right. Specifically in this case, Rabbi Yossi Glili would rely on the kalachomer of Chizda, and that's why the kalot b'mei kaluta wouldn't be tameh. However, now we're going to ask a real solid question, which is going to take away Yitzchak's drasha. Maskel Rav Chazir bar Ami, he asks as follows: Chazir b'mei chazirta loy l'tameh d'mahalchi shmeinu mahalchi shmeinuhu. If you have a chazir fetus inside its mother who's a chazir, that shouldn't be tameh if it dies, because that's eight inside eight. A chazir has split hooves, and so it walks on eight, and it's inside its mother who walks on eight, and therefore it shouldn't be tameh when it dies. And obviously we know that it is, because a non-kosher animal to a non-kosher animal. The Gemara says, you're right. Because of this, we have to go to a different drasha. Elam Rav Nachman Yitzchak Mehacha. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, really, the support for Rav Yosef Glili is from here. The pasuk tells us, Nefesh ki tiga b'chol tameh. Really, the quote of the pasuk is, Nefesh asher tiga b'chol davar tameh. If a person touches anything tameh, and then it tells us as follows, Oy b'nevelas chaya tameh, either the nevela of a tameh chaya, Oy b'nevelas behema tameh, or the nevela of a tameh animal, Oy b'nevelas sheretz tameh, or the nevela of a tameh sheretz. Now the question is as follows, V'chi nevelas behema tameh matama, ubetahayru loy matama, what the nevela, the carcass of a non-kosher behema is matame, and nevela of a kosher animal is not matame? Why is the pasuk specifically saying the nevela of a non-kosher animal, it's even the nevela of a kosher animal, it's matame? It must be teaching us unique din that there's a difference between kosher and non-kosher. Ela iza ze, which one is this? Ze ubar. We learn from this pasuk, says Rav Nachman Yitzchak, that specifically regarding a dead ubar inside its mother's stomach, shebetameya tame, that if it's a non-kosher ubar inside a non-kosher mother animal, so then it's tame ubetahayra tahar, but if it's a kosher ubar inside a kosher mother, so then it's tahar, and that's as far as Yosei Glili. Ask the Gemara, okay, umacher the nafka lemi Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Now that we have Rav Nachman Yitzchak here, Rav Yitzchak lamali, what do we need Rav Yitzchak's drasha for? And the answer is, ilav Rav Yitzchak, if not for Yitzchak's drasha, havamina, I would say, kule l'chidur Rebbe huda asa, that everything is really for Rebbe, kamashmon l'chidush is, that no. Let's explain what this means, and there's a number of steps, so try to pay attention. At the beginning of the next Amud, Rebbe darshins Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's pasuk for something totally different. And as Rashi over here points out, that even though Rebbe learns his drasha from the word behema, Rav Nachman Yitzchak learns it from the word chaya, nonetheless, there's a rule that parsha shenemar v'nishnes, mibnei chidush echa nishnes, that if we have a parsha that's said and it's repeated, which means we have a pasuk that repeats itself completely, it could be that the whole thing is repeated just for the one drasha that comes from it, and that applies to this pasuk that both Rebbe and Rav Nachman Yitzchak are trying to use. Mimela could be that the entire pasuk is really meant for Rebbe's drasha, not leaving any of it for Rav Nachman Yitzchak, and this in turn would, so to speak, force Rabbi Yosei Glili to concede to the Tanakhama because he doesn't have any source for his din. And that's what Rav Yitzchak is for, even though ultimately we don't use Rav Yitzchak as support for Rabbi Yosei Glili. His drasha at least gives us a good start. It shows us that Rav Chizda's Hekish, which remember was used as a support for the Tanakhama, is not ironclad, and this in turn enables Rav Nachman Yitzchak to darshan his pasuk in that same vein, expanding Rav Yitzchak's somewhat faulty drasha. drasha to all non-kosher animals. Bottom line is, if not for Rav Yitzchak's drasha, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak wouldn't necessarily have a pasuk for his drasha, because again, it would be for Rebbe, which then would leave Rabbi Yosei Glili without support. So that's what we need Rav Yitzchak for. Now moving on to something similar, since we just had this pasuk from Nachman Yitzchak, which mentioned nevela of a chaya and nevela of a behema, Sadik Mar tells us, Tani, we have a brisa, Amar Rabbi Yosei says, Namdi Ola ben Azai, Azai de ben Azai, Delamanu, nevelas behema taira shematama. We learn, meaning we have a clear pasuk that tells us the nevela of a kosher behema is matame, and nevelas behema tameya shematama, the nevela of a non-kosher behema is matame, and nevelas chaya tameya shematama. We also have a pasuk, the nevela of a non-kosher chaya is matame, but nevelas chaya tahira loilamanu. We don't have a clear pasuk that the nevela of a kosher chaya is matame. Minayin, where do we know that from? No, normally he told me, says Rabbi Yonasan, the pasuk says, kol hoilech al kapov b'chol hachaya leches, and we darshan the word kol to teach us that we're even talking about a kosher chaya, and the pasuk concludes by saying that this nevela is matame. However, Namti Loi, I told him, says Rabbi Yonasan, v'chi nemar v'chol hachaya, does it say v'chol hachaya? No, v'haloi le nemar ela b'chol hachaya. Rather, says the pasuk b'chol hachaya, which is similar to what Rabbi Yitzchak had said before, inside a chaya, and that teaches us l'mahachek apayim b'chaya hu da'asa. That's teaching us the mahachek apayim, something that walks on its paws, meaning a non-kosher fetus inside a chaya, that would be matame. And again, that's because of the word bichol, and it doesn't say vichol, mela, your drasha is not valid. And so normally he told me, says Rabbi Yonasan, umay shmal amar b'davar hazeh, what does Yishmal mean, what does Rabbi Yishmal say about this? And so namti loy, I told him, says Rabbi Yonasan, that the pasuk which you quoted earlier as well says, v'chiyomus mena behema, zu behema tameya, this is referring to a non-kosher behema. Then when the pasuk says, asher hilachem la'achla, zu behema tahayra, that's talking about a kosher behema. Laman, we learn from here, says Rabbi Yishmal, that chaya b'chal behema, u'behema b'chal chaya, chaya is included in behema, and behema is included in chaya, and mela, whatever deen apply to this, apply to that. And since nevela of a kosher animal is tamei, so nevela of a kosher chaya is tamei as well. Then we just continue with what Rabbi Shmuel says about this, because he speaks it out very specifically. Chaya tahayra b'chal behema tahayra, kosher chaya is included in kosher behema, chaya tamei b'chal behema tamei, non-kosher chaya is included in non-kosher behema. Ein alpha and alpha on the top, it goes the other way around as well. Behema tamei b'chal chaya tamei, non-kosher behema is included in non-kosher chaya, and behema tahayra b'chal chaya tahayra, kosher behema is included in kosher chaya. I will explain all these specifics tomorrow. Bottom line is, what was the end of the conversation? He told me in the following lashon, says Rabbi Yonasan, Chaval ben Azai shaloi shimishes Rabbi Shmuel. It's a chaval, it's a great loss that ben Azai wasn't mishamish Rabbi Shmuel properly, and he's really talking about himself. This is a great loss that he's a Talmud Vasek, he's a very distinguished Chashiv Talmud, and that he didn't learn from Rabbi Shmuel because he sees what great drashas and what great Torah he teaches. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow explaining what Rabbi Shmuel was talking about, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.